Today's passage is really kind of part one of two. So this week and next week are one story divvied up. And so what we have is Jesus coming fresh out of the desert. The first verse was, now Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, returned to Galilee. And so the place from which he's returning is the wilderness. And we'll hear that story in about a month, or just over a month, when we start Lent. But just to give you an idea of where Jesus is coming from, that's it. And so he goes home. He goes home to Galilee, which is a region of what we now know as Israel, and it's north of Jerusalem. And he goes all the way back to his hometown, Nazareth, and he goes to the synagogue. And the custom was, like for us, every worship service, you'd read from the scriptures. And you'd probably have more than one reader, and then you'd have someone teaching from the scriptures, like I'm doing now. So Jesus gets handed the scroll, you know, your turn, and he reads from the prophet Isaiah, and he reads these words of good news. Now I'm going to give you a spoiler alert. Next Sunday in the story, people are going to get real mad at him. So he reads this passage and then he teaches on it. And what he teaches makes people so mad that they haul him out of synagogue and try to throw him off a cliff. I have happily never had that experience. And I hope I never do. I'm not sure you've got many cliffs in the area anyhow. I've seen your big hill. I might sprain something if you throw me off that, but anyhow. But I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, all right, so next week I'll talk about what Jesus says that makes them so mad. But for today, all we've got in our passage is the scripture verses he reads. But we've also got, which I think is really interesting, this verse 15. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. I think that's Luke setting us up. I think Luke is, Luke likes to paint things in broad strokes. You know, as a professor of mine said, he always likes to round the number of people in the crowd up to the nearest 1,000. He likes to say, you know, everyone was amazed and all who went home praised God. You know, Luke is the guy who, Luke's a storyteller. So he was praised by everyone. So I think this is probably partly Luke saying, you know, this is how awesome Jesus is. Everybody praised him. But given that Luke will end up with going from everybody praised him to everybody hauled him up a cliff, I wonder if this is foreshadowing, you know, as we all learned about in sort of like elementary school English classes. This is foreshadowing, not everybody is going to be praising Jesus by the end. I was reading yesterday an article about the ethical questions that are beginning to come up for folks around COVID vaccines. And not ethical questions like, should you or should you not get the vaccine, but ethical questions about treating people. And there have been political moves lately, like in Quebec, they've announced, you know, some kind of unspecified tax on folks who aren't vaccinated against COVID, and without a lot of details about how that would work. The French president recently spoke about wanting to, quote, piss off the unvaccinated. And that's creating, or that I think reflects some of the human frustration that's beginning to bubble up, or maybe is bubbling, has been bubbling for a while, about this feeling of, you know, we're tired of COVID, we're tired of restrictions, we're tired of not seeing our grandkids or our friends, we're tired of surges, we're scared. You know, we're scared about ICUs filling up, and people have had surgeries or treatments canceled, which has been, you know, enormously devastating. And so because we're human, there is this desire to say, someone's got to pay. And because we know statistically that of those who wind up in hospital with very severe outbreaks of COVID or symptoms of COVID tend to be, like, a higher percentage of them are not vaccinated. It's very human to start saying it's their fault. And there's a couple of issues, because there isn't really one kind of unvaccinated person. There are folks who are way out on, you know, conspiracy theories about what's in those vaccines or whether or not COVID exists. There are folks who are vaccine hesitant, who may not know people who have been ill with COVID and don't feel the impact. There may be people who just haven't got around to it. There may be recent immigrants who don't speak English or French very well and don't know how to get the vaccine, or people who are working shift work and they can't get time off to go get the vaccine. There's all kinds of reasons. But what I was reading in this article is that for hospital workers, for healthcare workers, as soon as you show up in the hospital, there's no questions asked. You are there as a patient. You will be cared for. And that seems to me a kind of grace. Mm-hmm. It's applied before COVID too, right? That some people wind up in horrible health situations through no fault of their own, right? They're driving innocently down the road and someone else takes the turn too fast or is drunk or isn't paying attention, and boom. They might be dead. They might wind up in ICU. They might wind up in ER. They might wind up in 2 years of physio through no fault of their own. Or they might have been the drunk driver. They might have been the ones who weren't paying attention. They might have been the ones who took the corner too fast, and they wind up in ICU or ER. No questions asked. You show up, you're cared for. And I was thinking of that in these verses. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This year of the Lord's favor is something referred to in, I think it's Leviticus. Anyhow, it's the Old Testament, and it's this idea that every 50th year, you have a year of the Jubilee. All debts are forgiven. Everything is taken back to a kind of, the reset button is pushed. Those who have got themselves into a lot of trouble are given a new chance. And what struck me on reading this, and what struck me might piss everybody off, is that God doesn't put any conditions on this. Because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. I mean, you know, I would not consider myself a poor person. I don't work in a field right now where, like, we're doing ministry on the downtown east side of Vancouver or, you know, along 20th Ave in Saskatoon, 20th Street. You know, I'm not working with marginalized folks who are living from welfare check to welfare check. But my guess is that some folks wind up in those situations because, you know, they lost a parent in a car crash and they didn't have a good support system and they didn't know how to deal with it. And they wound up with a substance problem. And, you know, before you know it, they lose their housing and they lose their job and they end up on the street. And some folks just might have made a whole lot of horrible choices in their lives. Some folks might have just done some frankly stupid things. Some folks might be jerks. I have, you know, I've served a few meals here and there to folks who are economically disadvantaged. Some of them are lovely. They show up like they're generous, they're friendly, they're cracking jokes, there's no ounce of self-pity, you know, and they're so appreciative and grateful. And you go home with this kind of warm feeling in your heart, like, hey, you know, there's hope for humanity and I did a good thing today. And oh my gosh, isn't that wonder? Like, wow, how blessed am I that they can, you know, they're cracking jokes with everything they're facing. And here am I with my paycheck and my mats and my cats. Okay, well, I'm fine. And then there's folks who show up and they're mean and they're rude and they never say thank you, or they just don't talk, or they, you know, yell at you because you served the wrong kind of coffee, and you go home thinking, I'm just trying to help. I think the good news is offered to all those folks. And that can be maddening. The folks that we think might not deserve grace are given grace anyhow. The folks we think have got themselves into trouble by their own making are given a year of the Jubilee and their debts are forgiven. I think it's pretty understandable that we humans, with our finite resources, will get scared and start wanting to say, no, you're allowed help and you're not. And I'm sure that folks who are working in the welfare system that is chronically underfunded and short-staffed, social workers who are exhausted and strung out, you know, that might take a toll on them, and they might start saying, you know what, you're just a lazy bum. I'm not going to help you. We're human. But God has anointed all of us to bring good news to the poor, sent to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. Whether you are oppressed by chains of your own forging or chains that just got dumped on you because life's like that, God is here for all of us. I think it's hard to keep being generous and gracious when we're tired and when we're scared and we just want things to go back to normal. But I think of those healthcare workers, the ER nurses, the ICU respiratory therapists, the physiotherapists, and the doctors who keep saying, I will help you. I just wonder if there's a lesson for us in that. And I wonder if there's a question for us about how can we show up like those healthcare workers, and how can we show that kind of grace and generosity to the people in our lives who need it most. Amen.